you will turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I know I said we was not going to be in Hebrews chapter number 11, but we're going to kind of talk maybe a little bit about our study there and then continue on even with thinking about faith tonight. But as we get into 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're reading pretty much a letter that Paul had written to Timothy. And as you look at this and as we get to where we're going tonight, I want us to think for just a minute. I was trying to look this week as we have been talking about faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. Excuse me. As we've been talking about faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, so this week I just done a quick word search of faith in my Bible app that I have on my phone. And I thought it was kind of amazing that it popped up and it said that the word faith occurs 231 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. And as you look at that, only two of those times was in the Old Testament. Now, as we've been doing our study of Hebrews chapter number 11, and I don't even know how many weeks it was. I was trying to count just a minute ago and break it down, but I can't recall how many weeks we've been there. We've been there for several weeks. But every instance of faith that was given to us in Hebrews chapter number 11, every one that we've looked at so far, and I think as I was scanning through it there for just a minute, everyone that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11 was from the Old Testament. Even though the word faith was only mentioned twice in Hebrews chapter number 11, then all these past studies that we've been doing have been out of the Old Testament. And I thought that was kind of ironic that we were learning about faith even though the word faith was only mentioned twice and it wasn't in any of the scriptures that we have studied in the Old Testament. So I guess the conclusion that I was drawing about that is not only are we to have faith in our lives, but faith is not one of those things that you have to walk around with your Bible tucked under your arm. There's nothing wrong with tucking your Bible under your arm, but you don't have to walk around in a suit and tie with your Bible tucked around your arm, under your arm. Hey, somebody told me that I tried to put cars on my tires Sunday too. I now know what all of y'all are laughing about. And then I also found out somebody said, and you also said you was going to go to the bank and take out a deposit. So there you go. I was all twisted up on Sunday morning. It's all right. But as we look at this, we don't have to walk around with and there's nothing wrong with walking around with a big old shirt that says Jesus on it in order for others to see Jesus in us. We don't have to walk around with our Bible tucked under our arm for people to say, hey, there's a Christian. They ought to be something different about us anyway. And as people are around us, the Spirit of God should show through in our lives. But as we look in 2 Timothy tonight, we're going to look at an example of faith or maybe just a person of faith in God's Word in 2 Timothy. Let's read verse number 6 through verse number 8. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." As we're looking at this, three verses of scripture that Paul wrote down as he was, when I look at these verses of scripture, I almost look as he is passing the torch to Timothy. I look at him saying, look, I have done my part, I have fought the fight, I have kept the faith, I have ran my course. And he says, and I'm now ready to be offered. And we're going to look at that a little closer here in just a minute. But as we look at Paul, we know where his journey started at. We know where he was to begin with. We know he was Saul and that he was converted on the Damascus Road and then became Paul. So what an encouragement it was that even though things started off really rough for Paul, that he allowed God to come into his heart, into his life there on the Damascus Road. And God had a job for him to do and God changed his life. But let's look here at Paul in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now, from what studying I've done, and I use a whole lot of a commentary. The guy's name just left me that quick, but my goodness. J. Vernon McGee, I use a lot of his commentary. And as I was reading his commentary, he was trying to put a little bit of it in perspective. I know that's some old school commentary, but I think it's pretty good stuff. But as I was looking at that, the date that he was saying that he was said would put this at was somewhere between 65 and 68 A.D. during the reign of Nero in Rome. Now, as Paul is writing this scripture, he knows that he is fixing to be beheaded by the Roman government. And then when he writes these scriptures, I want you to look at how he says it. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." It don't sound like Paul is laying in there kicking and screaming and whining and, oh my goodness, what in the world am I doing here? Why is God doing this to me? But Paul says, knowing what's in his near future, knowing that his time is fixing to come up, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows that he's fixing to lose his life. He knows that he is fixing to give his life. He is fixing to be a martyr or a sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And as you look there in the end of that verse where he says, and at the time of my departure is at hand, I won't say this word right, but the Greek word that is used there is anelusis. I said that in my way, not probably the way that it was said. And when I looked up the definition of that, that was an unloosing. It was used when they were talking about being prepared to setting sail, to untie the ship, getting ready to set sail. See, as Paul was looking at this, and even though that sometimes we hold this life a little dear, we hold this life and it's really important to us because this is all that we know, and we just know the time that we have with our family, and we know, and it is, this life is precious to us because God has blessed us so much and we love the people around us. But as Paul is writing this, he says, for I'm now ready to be offered. I know what's coming to me. And he says, I'm ready for it. I'm okay with that. And the time of my departure or my unloosening is at hand. See, I think Paul understood that this world had him tied down. He is fixing to be set free. If we ever get the opportunity to really feel, and we won't here on this earth, but if we ever got the opportunity to really feel or to really know or catch a little glimpse of heaven, I believe that we would be doing as the Bible says and be praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe that we'd be saying, I'm ready to go right now if we really knew what heaven was. Now, what a blessing it is that God has blessed us so much here on this earth that this earth is enjoyable for us, that this earth is a place that we enjoy living and we all want, we have that will to survive. We all have that. But as Paul is sitting here and he knows what's fixing to come his way, he says, I'm now ready. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not holding back from it, he says, because my unloosening is fixing to come. For my departure is at hand. As we continue in verse number 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. You know, this life that we live is a battle. Even though that we enjoy it and even though there are some things that here that we really have a good time at, this life is a battle. Because the Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual warfare. If you're trying to live for God and trying to do the things that God wants us to do here on this earth, you are absolutely going to be in a spiritual warfare. And sometimes it's going to almost turn into a physical warfare because it's between your flesh and between your spirit. Your flesh wants to go one way, your spirit wants to go another. And as we're in this spiritual warfare, I hope that when my time comes, I hope that when it's time for me to be unloosened, I pray that I can say that I have fought a good fight, that I have stood true. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul tells Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. I hope that when my time comes, whether it be next year, whether it be tomorrow, or whether it be 20 years from now, I hope that I can say I have fought a good fight. I hope I can say that I have stood and I have been the soldier that God wanted me to be. There are times when it seems like that giving up would be easier. There are times when it seems like that this fight is not worth it. But I want to tell you tonight that when it comes my time for my unloosening, when it comes time that I may stand before a holy and a righteous God, I hope that somewhere in my life I can say, well, I did at least fight as a good soldier. I did stand my ground. I did do the things that God had called me to do. I didn't lay down and quit. I didn't turn back. I want to be the kind of person that when my time comes that I can say that I have fought a good fight. There are more than one reason that I want to do that. First of all, I want to do that because God blessed me way more than I ever deserved when he allowed me to become one of his children. When he allowed me the forgiveness of my sins and for mercy and grace and forgiveness to come into my life, right then and there, he deserved for me to be a good soldier from then on. He deserved my loyalty, he deserved my respect and my honor and my glory from right there. But he has done so much more even after that. He has been a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He has been there through thick and thin. He's never let me down. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Sometimes I feel that way, as I'm sure that you do, but trust me, but only promises in God's word that he's always right there with us no matter what we're going through. I want to be the kind of person that I can say that I have fought a good fight, that I have held up my end in this spiritual warfare. You say, well, how bad of a spiritual warfare could it be? Well, Ephesians chapter number 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of Satan. So as we go through, he says, I need you to put on the whole armor. You can't go out here unprepared. You can't go out here weak. You can't go out here exposed, because if you do, you're going to endure those darts from Satan. You're going to endure those fiery trials. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. And as I read this, and as we were talking earlier, I can see him almost passing the torch to Timothy. Well, you know what? I have three children at home. I have three children at home that are watching to see if I fight the good fight. I have three children at home that I have sat and told Bible stories to at night. I have three children that I have told them that God is the best thing that could ever happen in their life, that he's more important than any finances that they could ever have, that he's more important than any college education that they could ever have, that he's more important than any scholarship or any home run they could ever hit or any sports accomplishment that they could ever have. Now, what are they going to think if when I come to pass my torch, if I've laid down the fight? What are they going to think if I've quit, if I've laid down and I've said, you know, it's not worth it, I'm not going to do it anymore, then my words absolutely does not match my actions. And I want to tell you something, they're going to follow my actions way more than my words. They're going to follow your actions. And you may be saying, well, shoo-wee, you got a lot on you, preacher. Well, let's look at this. There's little kids in this church that come up and say, that's my pastor, that's my preacher. More responsibility that goes. But can I also tell you this? That those same kids that look at me and say, that's my pastor, that's my preacher, they look at y'all and say, I go to church with them, and they know whether we're fighting the fight or not. Some of y'all are their spiritual grandmas. Some of y'all are their spiritual mothers, their spiritual dads, their spiritual brothers and sisters, whatever the case is. And I want to tell you something, that they're watching. My son, sometimes he comes in, he says stuff, and he does stuff, and I say, you know what, I know exactly where you got that from. He come in and said something one day or done something. I won't go into specifics of what it is. And I went straight to Cameron Thomas, and I said, you are the cause of that. I want you to know right now, you are the cause of that. He said, what do you mean? I said, my son watched you, and you are the reason that he does that. He said, no, it ain't my fault. I said, yeah, absolutely. And I was joking. I was absolutely joking. But it really is, when we look at our lives, we have youngins in this church that are watching us. And here he is, he's getting ready to pass this torch. You are passing spiritual torches. Whether it be to me, whether it be to brothers and sisters in the pews beside of you, whatever it is, we all are passing spiritual torches. Are you going to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have battled in this spiritual warfare. I have endured hardness as a good soldier. I have wore the whole armor of God. Now, we all know that we're not perfect. We all know that from time to time, we lay down the fight. From time to time, we might have to back up from the fight, get our energy back, get a drink of water before we can go back to the war, to the forefront. But as we're together tonight, I hope that when it comes my time, when I'm ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand, that if nothing else, I can say I have fought a good fight. Listen to the next words that he said, I have finished my course. We all have a race to run here on this earth. We all have a path that's set before us. Maggie, she does really good running. She has ran 2 5Ks and come out first in her age group, and both of them, she's got them long legs and she can just run for miles. You know, used to I like to run with my kids because I'd put pressure on them and just make them run. And I guess it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, after church one Wednesday night, Autumn and I said, we're going to go running. So we changed clothes, and the kids all had their clothes with them. And we took off running down the road where our church was at. And we ran for a little ways. And my running is kind of like some of the ones you see on Main Street. You know, my arms are really pumping, and my feet ain't going anywhere. Y'all ever see people like that? Sorry. But so Autumn and I, we were jogging with the kids. And, man, they was right there with us. And they was turning circles around us. And, I mean, just acting. I told Autumn, I said, you wait. I said, when we get close to the church, I said, I'm going to smoke them. And she said, do what? I said, don't worry. I said, I'll come back and get you in just a minute. I said, but I'm going to run with everything I've got. And I said, I'm going to put the pressure on these youngins. So we got within, I don't know, from here to the house across the road from the church. And I started pushing. running it with everything I had. And I was pushing, and they was pulling off, and they was leaving me. I mean, they was getting further and further, and I finally just said, I'm going to go back check on Mama. And I went back to Mama. I went and told her, I said, I can't do it anymore. We all have a course that's in front of us. We all have a race that we have to run, and we don't always pick that path. We make choices sometimes that alters that path from time to time. But there's a path that's in front of us, and I want you to look what Paul said here. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He says, I have run my race. I have done exactly what I was supposed to do. I have fought that good fight, and I have run. Now look, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. There is times that we don't feel like running. Autumn still, she's getting back to exercising some after her back surgery, and before that she was exercising a lot, trying to get in shape for her surgery, and she used to run a lot, and I'd go out there with her, and I really did have knee trouble. She still thinks I'm telling stories, but she'd say, you want to run? I said, no, I'm hurting. I don't think I can tonight. And she would run, and I'd just walk and be by myself out there. But there's no time for us to pull the pressure off of our Christian life. And you say, what are you talking about, preacher? I want to tell you, in our Christian life, you may say, well, I'm just sitting still right now. There's no such thing as sitting still. We're either moving forward in our Christian life, we're either moving closer to God, or we're moving away. There's no really just sitting still, because when we're sitting idle and we're sitting still, trust me, there's things going to come along that our faith will begin to weaken and we'll start to pull away. We need to go on for the glory of God. We need to keep moving for the glory of God. Look, also it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, I like the way that this is written. This is my kind of running. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Even when we're running, and you can go and you can put that pressure on and you can be moving forward for the glory of God, and the whole time waiting for God to lead you, waiting for God to instruct you, waiting for God to show you. Because look, I started to say something about the 5K that Maggie run earlier. And as she's running that, you know, when we leave, I can look and I can see everywhere that she went. They got little markers and little cones. And the last one she run was over at Dobson. And we left and we could see all the cones. And I'm like, good gracious, that's a long ways. And they had it all. Maggie, she was actually worried about getting lost when she was. And I said, honey, there's going to be enough people there to follow somebody in front of you. I guess she thought she was going to be the leader and there wouldn't be anybody to follow. But she's kind of cocky like that. But, and I told her, I said, no, you'll be fine. But look, in this race of life that we're in, sometimes it is hard to know where to turn, ain't it? It's hard to know what that path is. But God has a path for us, and if we'll seek Him and run with patience, He'll set that race before us. Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He said, I've done what I was supposed to do. And then he says, I have kept the faith. You want to notice as he writes this that he didn't say, I have kept a faith. He said, I have kept the faith. And that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a whole lot of faith that you can have out here. A lot of people have a faith, but there's only one faith that counts, and that is in Jesus Christ. Paul had experienced many troubles. He'd been in prison many times. He'd been beaten. He had been left for dead. I mean, he had faced things that if we face today, I don't know if we'd be here tonight or not. I mean, you really think about it. If you thought that your life was going to be in jeopardy tonight by being here, would you have still showed up with your Bible tucked under your arm, ready to hear the Word of God? You know, there are places in this world that it's like that. There are places tonight where people are maybe not on Wednesday night, but whatever night they get together, that really and truly their life is on the line for coming together to learn about God. But you know what? We all got in our cars tonight and drove to church and, hey, how you doing? And turned our radio on, told everybody today that we was coming to church. Look, Paul didn't have that. Paul, he had experienced those troubles, those trials, those imprisonments, the betrayals, the beatings. And yet he said, I have kept the faith. Would we keep the faith through that? It's easy to have faith when everything's easy. But just like the song says, I'm glad that the God of the mountain is God in the valley also. And when those things come in our life, that's when we have to just my expression here, man up and keep the faith. We just have to say, okay, I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep on going because we're fixing to pass a spiritual torch. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. You know, I think it's amazing that we have a God that even in 2 Timothy here, as we're reading about Paul, I mean, a hero of the Bible. When we're reading about Paul, and he says, you know what, I know God's got something special for me. Well, you know what? God's got the same special for you. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. My question to us tonight is if we are thinking about this torch passing, if we're thinking about this imaginary torch that I've been talking about tonight, how bright is your torch that you're fixing to pass? How bright is your spiritual torch? How bright is your torch of faith? You know, sometimes I think my torch is pretty bright. And then there are times when it's pretty weak. There are times that I go, my goodness, what in the world? I'm not fighting the fight. I'm not running the race. I'm not keeping the faith. You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. You're the pastor. I'm just a sinner saved by grace like the rest of you. I fight the same battles every one of y'all do. I have the same temptations y'all do, the same struggles. We all are the same. I just was called to preach. And any of y'all that want to sometime, let me know. We'll see about working it out. I won't say we will work it out, but we'll see about working it out. But as we go forth, how bright is your spiritual torch? How bright is your torch of faith? Man, what would it have been to receive? I mean, for Paul to be writing this letter to Timothy and saying, here it is, I'm passing it. This is coming to you. You can imagine what that felt like. You can imagine how bright that torch was. He said, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the race. Sooner or later, we'll pass the torch to our kids, to our grandkids. Hey, sometimes spiritual life is hard. Sometimes being a Christian is hard. I'll just ask, see if we're all on the same boat. Anybody else ever felt like quitting? Sure. Sure you have. It's been tough. There have been times you wondered, is it worth it? Well, I want to tell you, there's somebody along the way that's waiting. They may not know it yet, but that is waiting for you to pass the torch. Your son's watching, your daughter's watching you, your husband, your wife, your neighbor. Hey, your neighbor knows whether or not your car leaves on Wednesday night and comes to church or not. Your neighbor knows whether you come to church on Wednesday. Well, preacher, that don't matter. Sure it does. It's your testimony. It absolutely matters. Just like my neighbor knows. How you know? I waved at him as I left tonight. How you doing, brother? So, as we go, what's your spiritual torch look like? We've been talking about faith for so many weeks. We've been talking about, man, I want my faith to be stronger, and I want my faith to be more, and I want to grow closer to God, and man, I just want to be so strong in the faith. Well, take a look tonight and ask, how is your faith? You know those little, those lighters that are about this long that you pull the little trigger on? I don't know what you call them, grill lighters or whatever you call them. All of them keeps around the house to light candles with. And nothing makes me madder than one of those things won't light. You can light it, all right, and as long as you're holding it up, it's lit. And then as soon as you turn it upside down to light the candle, it goes out. And then there you are standing with the candle upside down trying to light the candle, and the wax is running out, and Mama don't like it when the wax runs out of her candles and gets on the floor. And nothing makes me madder because I know that that thing is supposed to have fire on the end of it. That thing is supposed to have light to it. You know what? We as Christians, we're supposed to have some fire to us and some light to us. This world is expecting it from us. Whoever you're going to pass your torch to, it may be multiple people, they're expecting that from you. Like I said, they might not even know that. My son, 16 years old, he's got his license now. Still can't drive after 9, so I like that law, by the way, just so y'all know. That keeps me from even having to set rules. So he can't drive after 9, but since he's turned 16, he really thinks he's a man. He ain't here tonight, so I'll talk about him just a little bit. He is independent. He has decided that he can come and go like he wants to. And Autumn and I had a discussion just today. I said, me and you're going to have to get together and get on the same page of what rules we're enforcing and what we're okay with. And I said all that to say this. I know even as a grown man that he'll watch my life. But my time of setting that example in front of him, as far as him being my child at home, I don't have much more time to have that example in front of him. My daughters, if you look at them, they're 13 and 11. I don't have much more time to instill in them what I need to instill in them. There's no time for me to sit down and quit fighting the fight. There's no time for me to quit running the race, and there's not for you either. Let's fight the fight, run the race, keep the faith, be ready to pass the torch. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll help me to always be exactly what you'd have me to be. God, I know I'm nothing without you. There's no reason for me to think whatsoever that I can do any of this on my own. But God, I pray that you'll help me to have my heart right, help me to have my mind right, that God, I may serve you and worship you, and God, that you keep me in the place that I need to be, that my faith is strong, that I'm fighting the fight, that I'm running the race. God, I pray that you'll help me as I go from day to day, as I'm thinking about this spiritual torch, God, the torch that I could pass. God, I pray that you'll help me to live a life that makes that torch bright, to live a life that lets others know around me that this fight is worth fighting, this race is worth running, and the faith is worth keeping. God, we thank you and we praise you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.